Well, we've got a couple predictions here to record then that Sean David Morton has given us. One, of course, is the USC football game against Texas. They're going to fight off for the championship, he says. And he claims USC will win 35-27. So we mark that down. And he's also predicting that the bird flu, the avian flu, is indeed real, is indeed real. And we'll talk with him a little bit more about that, get into some of the economic predictions, and then we'll take some more predictions throughout this hour. The next hour, we'll open up the phone lines. I'm sure you have a question or two for Sean David Morton. Sean, why don't you summarize again your thoughts of the avian flu?
That my prediction back in 94 was that we would see some kind of Spanish influenza-related virus beginning about 2004, that we would start to see the peaking of this in 2006, and that when it would start to get very, very bad, and we would see some kind of global pandemic of an influenza-type disease that would hit primarily Asia. The United States would be one of the safer places on the planet as far as that goes, simply because of the advancements in, well, food refrigeration, also because we're not eating like cats and rats and badgers and
pigeons
and all the stuff they eat in Asia. So, and already things are being put into place, like I said, with companies like BioCrist with 100 million vaccination vials, and the stuff is being done in Hungary, and because nobody will insure them in the United States. So, the real danger might be is that they start inoculating people for this disease, and they cause the pandemic with the inoculation, because there is just as much a danger of that happening as there is the actual spread of this flu. So
okay, let's talk about the economy. In July of this year, you
right.
said that gold would go up to 525 by January of 2006. It's sitting right now mm-hmm. at a pretty hefty 477. You're going to stay with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, where was it when we talked about it in July? It was somewhere down around 438 or so. So
maybe even lower.
And here's the things that are going to drive gold up, and why you have metals in general. Hey, maybe Tom can give me a drum roll, because I have a top 10 list for why precious metals are going to go up. So you ready?
We don't do drum rolls.
Okay, well, the Fed, here's number one. The Fed vows to print more money, hoping foreign currencies will continue to hold their noses and buy a fast devaluing currency for its interest rate. And remember also that this Benjamin Bernanke, who is the fellow taking over the Federal Reserve, if you can imagine, he's actually said, we will print money and throw it out of helicopters if we have to. This is his exact quote, mind you. This is his quote. We will print money and throw it out of helicopters if we have to in order to shore up the economy. So here is a guy who is a massive fan of inflation. Here's the weird thing.
Should have stayed with the gold standard.
And let me tell you where I've been correct and where I've been incorrect. Where I've been incorrect is that I had always figured that if I'm seeing the metals market go up, then we would see the dollar start to go down. That hasn't happened. What will happen is that when Bernanke gets in January, this is going to begin my hyperinflation scenario. Great for people that actually have property, because they can actually then pay off fixed mortgages. Very bad for people on fixed incomes, obviously, because inflation is like taking tepid water and diluting fine French wine with it. It leaves everybody with a very bad taste in their mouth. And when Bernanke gets in and starts inflating the currency like he's going to, my projection, again, because I've seen the currency in place, is a two-tiered currency, one for outside the United States, which they will call redbacks, which they will keep relatively stable.
Will they look like U.S. currency?
They look just like our money. I've seen them. I was in Amsterdam about 6 months ago, and I went to a warehouse outside of the airport there, where there was a warehouse of about $60 million in these new Fed notes, where they cracked open the case, and, you know, they're under glass, and they're all locked up, and there were security guards there. And they looked just like our money, except they had the money had a red tinge across it, and these are what they were calling redbacks, and that these redbacks are going to be a stable foreign currency. Meanwhile, the currency inside the United States, the greenbacks, or all the new money they printed since 1996-97, are going to be they're just going to hyperinflate the snot out of it. We're seeing sort of a pre-World War II Germany type scenario. I mean, you're looking at the United States somewhere around Germany 1929, 28, 29, 30, 31, moving into that scenario, hyperinflating the currency inside the United States.
Dangerous, isn't it? It's a dangerous financial move.
But it also means that if the dollar is strong, that when the hyperinflation starts, it means the metal markets are going to go through the roof. They're just going to go crazy. Because if gold is up at 477 now with the dollar strong, you can imagine that the price of gold will conceivably double when the market begins to drop. So an emerging superpower, China, has legalized the purchase of gold by its wealth-seeking citizens. That happened about 8 months ago. India, an increasingly more affluent country, now sees demand for gold sharply rising, so they're big in the markets. Gold strikes in South Africa have weakened the supply of gold, which is the only reason it's not up higher than it is. Silver should explode upwards if a silver-backed European Trade Federation is approved, which it looks like it is going to be. And I've always said that eventually, when the Federal Reserve note takes over, when we have this huge financial collapse within about the next 3 years or so, and the Federal Reserve note is presented as the monetary system of choice from pole to pole, Canada all the way through South America, they're going to have to back the Federal Reserve note with something, and it'll be backed by silver. And this silver-based currency is what's going to drive the price of silver up. China's going to float its yuan even higher against the U.S. dollar. Hostile oil nations will one day refuse U.S. dollars as payment, in other words, shifting away from petrodollars, possibly to what Saddam Hussein originally proposed, which was a gold-backed dinar for the OPEC nations. U.S. inflation was likely to skyrocket, benefiting precious metals, and all fiat, that is paper currencies, eventually collapse, and gold and silver survive the rise and fall of countless rulers and great empires. So that's my top 10 list of why we're going to see why we're seeing metals rise. Projection again was 525. In the realm of 525.
You're going to stay with that.
By late January. Yeah, it's right on track for it. And 725 by July 06 at the earliest, August at the latest.
Okay.
And we're looking at silver. My original projection for silver, I'll adjust a little bit. I thought that by January we would see silver at about $9. I would adjust that. I think that's a little high right now, so I'm probably looking at about, I'd say about 8 to 825. In the silver market at that point. Remember, theoretically, if a $20 gold piece, you had a silver dollar and a $20 gold piece, that the commensurate value between the two of a dollar worth of silver and $20 worth of gold, silver has not kept up with the price of gold. So eventually what's going to happen is that silver is the one in which, you know, you can buy $9 or $10 of the stuff relatively low. You know, it's a poor man's metal. If you don't want to go out and invest in gold right now, the best place to put your money would be Swiss francs, because Swiss francs are 70% backed by gold. As gold rises, the Swiss franc is going to rise. And another company that I talked about was BHT Billiton Limited. I issued a buy. When did I issue the buy on this? I'm looking at the chart, actually the graph right now. I issued a buy back when BHP, which is a gold, they deal in gold and oil, back when gold was $3.95. The original buy that I issued was at about $19, and it hit a high of, when gold was $4.19, BHP hit a high of $29. Hmm. I've got a whole list of the stocks here and what they did and what I recommend.
Okay. Well, let me go through the stocks. I did a little research on what you told us in July. I'll go through them one by one.
Okay.
You can react to them if you want.
Okay.
Caterpillar Tractor, what you told us. In July was that Caterpillar would be around 100 by the end of the year. And honestly, it's split. And if you would multiply what it's at today, it would have been at 112. So I'll give you a hit on that one.
Okay. Well, actually, what exactly happened, what I said with Caterpillar was that when I recommended Caterpillar on your program, Caterpillar was at $91.
Mm-hmm.
Caterpillar, after the show, went up to 100 and...
Well, that's because so many people listen to the program.
Well, it went up to, but here's what happened though. After 3 weeks after the show, it wasn't just the program, although I'll give that some credit. After the show, all of the market analysts started picking Caterpillar, and started, this is 3 weeks after the program.
Well, I'm giving you a hit on that one. You got it right.
And then said that Caterpillar would outperform even the projections, and actually Caterpillar did outperform their projections by 6 cents a share. That Caterpillar would then split, which it did. It was down at 45 a share after the split. It's now back up to about 55. And there was just I just got a report over the net today that a fellow's just come in for about $500 million, and so Caterpillar's on its way up. That was one of those stocks that I said, well, if you can get it now and wait for the split and get it when it goes down about 45 or so, but Caterpillar's going to start inching its way up. So there
okay,
you go.
But we're giving you a hit on that one.
Thank you.
XM a little flat. It was at 34.55 when you talked about it. It's down to 29.97. So no pump yet.
Because XM hasn't. They got contracts for Raytheon to supply. They have yet to see the military payoff that they got when they, along with Raytheon, are now going to put XM satellite radio boxes into virtually every Hummer, every Jeep, every tank for military satellite communications. It's also a little down too because you have these guys like Jim Cramer on, you know, Mad Money, who is never right. The guy's just never right about anything. He's been pumping Sirius satellite radio as opposed to XM, and I just, you know, in my opinion, Sirius is just a gigantic dog.
Okay, but with this one, are you going to say you were wrong, or are you just not going to say anything yet?
Hang on to it. If you watch stocks every day, it's going to drive you crazy. XM satellite radio has no place to go but up.
Walmart still flat. It was 49.5. It's at 48.8, so no movement there since July.
Right.
Nutrisea was a big hit for you. I'll give you that one.
One went crazy.
It was at 61 cents, went higher. Now it's sitting at $1. That's a pretty good bop. That's 39 cents. What is that percent-wise?
Well, actually,
50% almost.
Here's what happened after your program, just to give you an idea about Nutrisea. And once again, this is what I call enlightened investing. Patricia McPeak, who's the president of this company, who is really somebody that you need to have on your program.
She's emailed me 100 times.
She's an amazing woman. She's a great guest. She's a good person. It's all about them feeding the world and coming up with programs. She's heavily involved with Schwarzenegger and the whole thing about getting soda pop out of public schools and getting obesity programs and better food in the schools in California. Here's what happened with Nutrisea. Within about 72 hours of my mention of that stock on this show, $580 million was pumped into, within about 72 hours, was pumped into this company. It went from shareholders of between about 400 and about 600 people to 3 million people buying into Nutrisea at that point. Nutrisea went from 61 cents a share to $1.91 at a high, which means I can't even tell you what the percentage
that's
on that
300%
is.
300% plus.
$1.91 high. Now, what occurred is that right now, everybody that I think owns stock, the insiders that were manipulating a lot of the stock, were not very happy about the fact that now control had been wrested away from them to a very populist core base of people that now saw this company for what it was, saw the company for the potential of enlightened investing, as I call it, saw them feeding the world, saw its FlexProtex is selling like crazy. They've got a deal with ITV for infomercials. They just signed a deal that's going to guarantee $4.5 million in profits over the next year. All they're doing now is signing deals with Panama and Grenada and Jamaica, because all these foreign deals look very good because they're on the road to the NASDAQ. There was a merger between Nutrisea and a company called RiceX. Patricia McPeak is now stepped down as CEO and is now chairman of the board. So there's been a lot of reshuffling and reorganizing so that they can then consolidate so that the stock can move up. And as a matter of fact, the stock actually went just today from 86 around 86, 87 cents a share to about $1.01. It actually closed at $1.01 just today. So Nutrisea is an amazing success story, and it's somebody I think the concept of the company is what's so great, because the concept really has to do with the fact that they're taking the best parts of rice. Rice is a staple food diet for a large majority of the world's population. It's all about really ending hunger on a global scale. And Patricia McPeak, who's the founder of the company of that and RiceX, and a woman who has invented all these amazing patents for dietary treatments for diabetes and all kinds of other things, them hooked into people like Donald Barrett at ITV and the infomercials and all the stuff they're doing, I think, once again, I think the company has just got nowhere to go but up. and it's reconsolidating now.
All right. I gave you a hit. I already gave you a hit.
All right, thanks.
All right. Now, you've had one that's been a clunker. Back in October of 2003,
Okay. You
were jumping up and down for a pharmaceutical company, which
I think is
now a technological company called Palatin.
Yeah, Palatin.
And in 2003, it was at 589. In July, when you were on it, was at 185. It's gone up a little to 270.
Yeah. All I can tell you is that there's been four products that they're investigating. It's pharmaceutical companies that are trying to do pioneering things. It's just a really long, drawn-out process.
You won't say you're wrong about it yet?
No, because I still think it's one of those wait-and-see stocks. I explained a lot in my newsletter, in the Delphi Associates newsletter, why they're doing things on drugs for female sexual dysfunction, which nobody else in the field is working on, which is a huge market that nobody has really tapped into. But you're right. When I first mentioned Palatin, I mean, this is the only stock that I've had that's really gone down substantially. Was when I first mentioned it was up somewhere around. Sitting here looking at my graph on this.
Well, and while you're doing that, you've had a nice hit with Texas Instruments as well. That's gone up a couple bucks a share since you talked about it.
It's once again, what's it about? It's about.
So I get you can't be right on all of them, Sean.
Right.
So you know, so be it. Now, what do you see in the future? What kind of picks?
Well, here's what we got, which I think is. Let me talk about a few of these here. First off, there is Apple Computer, which I recommended. Had you bought Apple when I told you to buy Apple, and had you bought Pixar when I first recommended it, actually on this program, Pixar was about 26 bucks a share, and I recommended it back in.
Now it's at 55.
Yeah, and now it's up to 55. Pixar is going to be a big buy. I think Pixar is going to get bought by Disney. And if Pixar gets bought by Disney, then I think it's going to be a hostile buyout because the people at Pixar do not like the people at Disney. And if Disney buys out Pixar, and I don't see how they really have any choice, you're looking at the stock. The stock's just going to skyrocket. So Pixar is another good one. Apple today, all the earnings came out on Apple. The demand for the iPods, Apple hit a new high. I think it's about 68 bucks a share. Just to go through some other stuff let me see. The other one that I really like a lot is a company called Nuclear Solutions.
What do they do?
Well, the actual company name is NSOL.OB. And one of the reasons why Well, one of the reasons why I look at bulletin board stocks is because you're trying to find companies that are getting in at the bottom of the wave, if you will.
You got to be careful, though. If you try to sell, you might not be able to get out that fast, right?
That's a problem because, again, if you're looking at a stock that's trading substantially on an OB, on a bulletin board stock, these stocks, like Nutrisea, like Nuclear Solutions, are trying to get listing on the NASDAQ. If they get listing on the NASDAQ, you're looking at the stock going to, they have to be somewhere around $4 a share in order to get a NASDAQ listing. The thing about Nuclear Solutions is that's so interesting and so cool is that Nuclear Solutions just recently had a spinoff company called Future Fuels, and they're building one of the first plants, if you will, to actually turn garbage into fuel, actually be able to go into years from now, you might drive up to a pump at a local attendant and say, you know, fill my hover car up with banana peels, wood chips, rotten tomatoes, and corn
stalks. Like Back to the Future, the flux capacitor.
Long drive ahead. That's what these guys are doing. It's an etho station. They could say, well, we're out of high-octane tomatoes today, but that's in essence what they're doing. Now, originally, it's a small speculative company, and it does lack an earnings history, and most people would glance at it and kind of pass on it, but the truth is that's only half the story. Prior to September, NSOL was strictly this homeland defense play that was focused on water tritation, shielded nuclear weapon detection, which means that just from that, they're getting nuclear weapon detectors at every single one of the points, so NSOL was actually getting orders to scope for nuclear weapons at Long Beach, at New York, when New Orleans gets back up and running. But they formed the Future Fuels, Inc., which is a company that aims to build these revolutionary ethanol plants that will turn ordinary household trash into clean-burning ethanol. So Jack Young, who's the VP of Development at Nuclear Solutions, has an extensive consulting experience in the fields of energy and engineering, and he's overseeing the plant construction currently
All right, we'll get a few more of those from you when we come right back, Sean. We'll talk about a few more predictions and then get into some other things you see in the future, including things that are affecting all of us. He did say, by the way, Los Angeles would get its own football team again, and the NFL has just said, yep, that's going to happen. Now, Sean thought they'd play at the Rose Bowl. The NFL says the Coliseum, but that's a pretty good hit. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, you still have about a month or so, and then no more. The Perfect Possession, the CD on exorcisms, it's available to you. It is free. It's a gift. Take it away when you order the After Dark newsletter or renew. A couple ways to get it. You go to the coasttocoastam.com website or call this toll-free number, 1-888-727-5505. Few more stock picks, Mr. Morton, before we talk about your estimate on the price of oil.
Okay. We spoke a little bit about Azure Dynamics Corporation, AZD.TO. This is a Canadian stock. Once again, it deals in hybrid vehicles specifically, and the stock's just been doing very, very well, and so I would recommend Azure Dynamics. The S&P hit a... The S&P is doing very well. The best months of the year for the market are usually November and December, specifically the S&P, sometimes January, though the last two Januaries all gave those gains back. The best thing I can also recommend to people as well is that, oh, here's one other stock that I picked, Magna Entertainment. The hits just keep on coming. The high intrinsic value with Magna Entertainment, noted in the July issue of the Delphi Associates newsletter, is being unlocked. Magna's stock is up to... I recommended originally at 5, Magnus at 7.91 now.
What do they do?
They're a company that deals in they deal in slot machines. They deal in theme parks.
Okay.
They deal in they just got off track betting in Florida. Very interesting company. And let me also tell you that everybody that wants to order the newsletter, either through the DelphiAssociates.org website or they'll get all the financial issues. We'll give them 13 issues for the price of 12. They'll get the parts 1 and 2 of the newsletters we did called Money Matters and Black and White. We'll send them the Money Matters Part 1 for free. Money Matters Part 2 they'll get as part of their subscription. And then I'm working on right now a whole series of stock picks. And what I do is I work with my friend Nick Winton up in Canada. And Nicholas actually takes my predictions, puts charts and graphs on them specifically to show where I recommended them in the newsletter and on the radio, what their performance has been, and then a series of updates as to what's going on with it. And if you want to order the newsletter, it's 888-452-7999. That's 888-452-7999. And it's the number one publication of its kind in the United States right now. We've got... I can't even tell you how many thousands of people in print and over the internet. It's $60 for 1 year. It's a 12-issue subscription. You get 13 if you subscribe now. $45 for seniors, and we have an online email PDF version for $35. And also for people that actually subscribe to the newsletter and give us their emails, we also do some financial updates on stocks and things that are going on. And the reason I do stocks and the reason it seems like some people ask me about a disconnect between money and the spirituality aspect of this, is that I'm trying to combine these things together because I very, very much believe that we're going to see one last big run in the market here. We're seeing the peaking of the mortgage bubble, if you will, that peaked in July.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that, too, with oil, the housing market. How do you see that,
well,
since you brought it up?
Here's the... We'll talk about that. Hold on 1 second. With the Delphi Associates newsletter, once again, 888-452-7999, DelphiAssociates.org. We've also got a connection on your website to it as well. A gentleman by the name of Tom Bullard, about 3 weeks ago, is one of the largest real estate investors in the U.S. market. And there was a news flash that came across CNNFinancial.com, and people can look this up if they'd like. Bullard controls a property portfolio in the United States of about $500 billion. And he sold out about 3 weeks ago. He sold all of his U.S. holdings. He sold hotels. He sold condominiums. He sold everything.
Probably for a good profit, too, I'm sure.
Well, yes. And he got out, and it looks as though the mortgage bubble, as we called it, you know, related to the internet bubble, related to all of these bubbles that we've had in the market over the last 7 years. I think that the mortgage and the housing market peaked in July and August of last year, and we're going to see the slow, steady decline of this with a popping of the mortgage bubble sometime coming up in the spring of this year, within the next 6 months.
All nationwide? Or are there going to be some pockets that are immune to it?
That's the problem. Once again, remember that it's not this kind of bubble isn't linear. It's in a wave, if you will, whereas what's the biggest trend right now, George? We're looking at the aging of the population.
Mm-hmm.
We've got 60 million baby boomers that are all hitting about 55 to 65 or so. Most of them are taking property that they own primarily on the coast, places like Florida, California, along the eastern seaboard, where they're getting pounded by high energy prices and natural catastrophes, and they're selling very, very high-priced property and moving into the central part of the United States. Arizona, Del Webb just bought, they're building 800,000 new homes between Phoenix and Flagstaff.
Las Vegas is still out of control.
Las Vegas is booming. All of these places. Why? Because you're having an aging population that's moving inland where they can now sell their homes, buy something relatively cheap.
And they're tired of the catastrophes.
Tired of the catastrophe, and they're retiring. Remember, too, that as of this year and the beginning of next year, all these people hitting 55, those people are also checking out of the workforce as well. And we're now having a workforce that, for lack of a better term, is their ADD has ADD, for goodness sakes. And they it's not the same quality workforce that is now coming in to take a lot of very technical jobs, which is why a lot of things are outsourcing now. So Tom Bullard basically just cashed out, and he moved all of his holdings, $500 billion, to Asia.
In what? What did he buy? You mean other instruments?
No, in not only monetary instruments, but hotels, golf courses.
So he went back into real estate, but over there.
But over in Asia, yes. And feeling that there were too many amateurs in the U.S. housing market, and that
interesting,
that everything had hit its peak here. And once again, look up Bullard on, anybody can look it up on CNN.com.
Well, I haven't seen the bubble burst or even get close to it here in Los Angeles yet, Sean. I mean, it's
not
crazy.
When
I look at housing prices between St. Louis and L.A.,
right,
and I know them well now because I go back and forth and I look at that, I mean, there's no comparison. I mean, for $200,000 in St. Louis, it would cost you $1.3 million in L.A., the same house.
Well, here's
it doesn't make any sense.
Here's the frightening stat, is that now in Orange County, only 12% of the people who live in Orange County can now afford a home in Orange County.
12%.
Only 17% of the people who now live in L.A. County can own a home in L.A.
That's
County.
That's why they're building so many rental apartments.
And, of course, you have to, in order to get a home in Orange County, you have to be making, you and your partner have to be making at least, just to get in to a relatively inexpensive home, you've got to be making at least $150,000 a year.
Oh, my gosh.
So if you look at those types,
I can't keep going that way then.
And eventually people are going to wake up and realize they don't own anything. And once you have, and that's when you get revolutions, and that's when you get riots, and that's when you get social unrest, when suddenly people start to wake up and say, hey, I've been screwed, and I've got nothing. And, you know, you're one paycheck away or one fall down the stairs away from utter bankruptcy. And when you have all of the money and the land accumulating in the hands of less than 1% of the people,
You got a problem.
That's when things get nasty.
Well, I agree with that. So the bubble burst sometime in the summer, you think?
My projection had always been that from when I made these projections back in 97, the projection was back in 97 was we would see the markets go to, and from the beginning, when I started doing this back in 93 and publishing the newsletter, and I said the market would go to 4,000. People said I was nuts. I said it would go to 8. I said it would go to 10. Then I said it would go to just below 12, about 12,000 or so, that we would see a collapse of the
mm-hmm.
market right before the presidential elections, the Bush for president stock market collapse. Then we would see a flattening out of the market between 2000 and 2003. The markets would start to recover in the spring of 2003, which is exactly what it did, and that we were looking at late 2005 for being the beginning of the collapse of the mortgage markets and the collapse of the stock market. And the only thing that's kept that going, and that projection, and let me stretch that out about 6 months or so to about the spring of 2006, as long as the market was right between about 10.2 and about 10.5 or so, there has to be one last big run in the market up to about 11,000 or so. We're seeing that happen now with the market's going up to about 10,700. It's on its way to 11,000 again. With the Fed's new inflation policies and with them inflating the currency, that means there's going to be lots of money to pay debts off, which means that this is going to be one last junky drug fix for the economy.
All right. This is not counting, God forbid, any kind of political or terrorist upheaval, all right?
Well,
we can't factor that in.
But, well, you can, really, because, look, I mean, 9/11 dropped the markets for, I mean, technically, the markets recovered pretty well after 9/11, and that was, you had about a 2,000-point drop, and then within about 6 months, the market started going up
again.
Came
right back up again, sure.
But that also, you know, remember, too, that Wall Street and Main Street are completely disconnected now, and the realities of what's happening to you and I are so different than what these guys are thinking on Wall Street now, where it's how much money, it's not about workers, it's not about putting out a good product, it's all about what the stock is this quarter. And that's why you've got all this outsourcing and you've got borders being broken down and jobs going to, high-tech jobs going to India and China, and it's just it's a mess. And
can you remote view the past, Sean, or only the future?
No, we can.
And current and future.
You can remote view anything you can focus on.
You need to remote view that meeting with those oil executives and see what they really talked about.
Well, it was very plain that when the Bilderbergers got together about 8 months ago, and Jim Tucker with the American Free Press was the fellow that reported on it, and they decided back in the spring that they wanted oil at $150 a barrel, and then suddenly you had all these weird things happen. You had hurricanes that seemed to be aimed at pipelines. You had hurricanes that had already passed over certain areas of New Orleans where three levees all go at exactly the same time.
Well, you're not joining that camp, are you? The camp of manipulation, or are you?
When you sit and watch the ABC feeds, and I sat and watched the Discovery Channel special on this the other night, and they had the aerial photographs that showed all three of the levees breaking at the same time, and I watched the ABC feed of a fellow who was standing on a bridge who said, quote, "I watched them blow the levee up." And they blew it because their theory was that they wanted to flood the lower sections so that the more expensive parts of New Orleans wouldn't get flooded. And this was the Industrial Street Canal, where these guys had to live on this bridge for a week. I mean, I watched the feeds come through on ABC and looked around at the reports of what happened with the Industrial Street Canal with burn marks on it. And the only person that mentioned it nationally was Al Sharpton. I don't know what kind of source you think he is, but
I ran into him about a month and a half ago.
Oh, what was that like?
Well, I said hi to him. That was about it.
I'm sure he's a nice guy. So it just
seemed to be.
A lot of things happened as far as keeping the price of oil up. Here's what's going to happen now. Price of oil has now retracted. Price of gasoline's down about nationally about 23 to 26 cents or so. Price of oil's back down to a relatively manageable. God, if we talk about that, I remember my talking about oil being at $50 a barrel.
Well, it's a little under 60 now.
Yeah, it's about 58 right now. This is the retracement now in the oil prices, which I saw that you would see oil prices going back down.
Well, and they're dropping the price at the pumps because they've heard us scream and yell. They're scared.
And I think that this retracement is just the lull before the storm, that you are going to have just savage winters in the Midwest and on the East Coast, which is going to drive the price of natural gas and heating oil specifically through the roof. And you're looking at oil back up in the January, February time frame, back up between about, I would say, $75 to $80 a barrel.
Oh.
And you're looking at, I mean, here's the real problem. You're looking at people on the East Coast now who are going to say, my heating bill is as much as my mortgage. Which one do I pay? Do I freeze to death or do I pay my mortgage this month?
And get my house repoed.
Yeah, and that's the reality of this. And there are a lot of things in the marketplace that are manipulating the price of oil. I mean, I've said from the beginning that I've never thought that the Iraq war was about getting their oil. I always thought it was about keeping their oil off the market so that other sources of oil would become more valuable, because it's all a game of keep away. It's a game of risk where you put the sanctions on Saddam. Then Saddam looks like he's behaving himself, and they're going to pull the sanctions off of the UN and Europe. Then we go in and blow it up and blow up the pipelines and everything, you know, bomb the whole country. Then Halliburton gets the contracts, And then, you know, so it's a very interesting, it's a self-feeding cycle. So that's what you're looking at right now. This is the lull on oil. You should go long on oil as far as oil going up to, once again, about $75 a barrel. 80 is a high. 75 would be conservative. 80 would be liberal. Because my prediction is that the winters this year will just be just savagely cold on the eastern seaboard. And you're just going to continue with that same type of weather pattern. Once again, as everything shifts and as everything moves towards the 2012 to 2014 time frame, which is what I talked about with the military reports and the RAND Corporation, their reports very basically stated that the beginning of the 21st century, the greatest challenge was going to be these massive storms, hurricanes, all kinds of winds, and that this was going to culminate in what might conceivably be a polar reversal, electromagnetic, mind you, not the whole planet flipping over, but an electromagnetic reversal of the poles that would occur between 2012 and 2014, relating directly to the Chamber of the Ordeal in the Great Pyramid that has an area called the River of Fire, a trough that will wash the rest of humanity into the pit that occurs, this big space in the wall between 2012 and approximately 2014. So it's very interesting that when you're an intuitive, and you asked me this question before, and I'd like to answer it, that as an intuitive and as a sensitive, and as somebody who has actively tried to reach out to other people who are intuitive and sensitive to get a confluence of information that all concords in a manner moving into what we see as true. And remember, I'm a student of prophecy who is an intuitive, and I'm not trying to proselytize anybody either. I don't have a particular religious fixation that prophecy has to come out this way or that way, or you know, which is what you get so much in the prophecy field, and why I think it's so many people mock prophecy, and because of their mocking of prophecy, they're not getting that there is a divine clock in place, that there seems to be a mass agreement of humanity, if you will, that we're all in a college, we're all taking certain classes, certain courses, if you will, and we're all moving in a certain direction. And this divine timeline, which is laid out by the Mayan and Aztec calendars, laid out by the Great Pyramid, is pushing us all towards a dissemination of what I called that core theory, the all is one, that God is love, and that life has some kind of purpose. So this is where this all fits in. I mean, I look at the big picture. That's why I started the Prophecy Research Institute. That's why, with starting the Delphi Associates newsletter, this allowed me to reach out to other intuitives and people that had their versions of the future and their psychic predictions, if you will, and once again, come to some kind of concordance on what these events are going to be, hopefully for the benefit of people. And the reason I do the stock market stuff is because the people that listen to your show, those with the eyes to see and the ears to hear, mm-hmm. deserve to prosper. And the people that I deal with my newsletter, and we called some people today and we sent out a big email to all the people on the list. We said, you deserve, because when all these changes start to happen, very much like my friend Jewel in Florida, she went to the store, she bought all the stuff, she was ready, because I called her, I warned her, I said, look, this is going to get bad. And she was then able to take care of all the other people in her neighborhood that were not quite so conscious, if you will. That everybody's got the right to prosper. And people who think that people of spirit and people who are on a particular path have to be destitute and poor is just wrong. You have to be able to lead the path of the princely Buddha and get to the point of where it's the old law that when the gas masks come down, yours has to be put in place first before you help anybody else. And that's why I talk about the markets, and that's why I want people to prosper in the markets. I want them to be situated so that when things get bad and when people have to come together, they'll be in a position to be prosperous enough to be able to help others.
All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Sean's view of who's going to run for the presidency in 2008. You will be astounded by some of the things he has to say. One of them you probably would say, well, okay, but the other one, that'll kind of take you for a loop. We'll be back in a moment, and we'll also take your phone calls next hour as well if you have a question or two of the intuitive psychic, Sean David Morton. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.